ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're continuing our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 10, the deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna trees. And today's verse is text 19. Tad ahang matayor madhva varunya shrimadandayaho tamo madam harishyami strainayor ajitat manaho tad ahang matayor madhva Varunya Shimadandayo Tamo Madang Harishyami Strainayor Ajitat Manaho Tad Ahang Matayor Madhya Varunya Shimadandayo Tamo Madang Harishyami Strainayor ajitat manoho tad ahang matayor madhya varunya stri madandayoho tam madang harishyami strainayor ajitat manoho. Please chant. Tadahang matayor madhya varunya shimadandayoho tamo madang harishyami strainayor ajitat manaho. Tadahang matayor madhya varunya shimadandayoho tamo madang harishyami strainayor ajitat manaho. Tad ahang matayor madhya varunya shrimadandayoho tamo madang harishyami strainayor ajitat manaho. Tad ahang matayor madhya varunya shrimadandayoho tamo madang harishyami strainayor ajitat manaho. Vaishnavis. Tad ahang matayor madhya varunya shrimadandayoho tamo madang harishyami strainayor ajitat manaho. Tadahang matayor madhya varunya shrimadandayoho tamo madang harishyami strainayor ajitat manaho. So, synonyms. Tat, therefore. Aham, I. Matayaho, of these two drunken persons. Madhya, by drinking liquor. Varunya, named Varuni. Srimada Andayaho, who are blinded by celestial opulence. Tamak madam, this false prestige due to the mode of ignorance. Harishyami, I shall take away. Strainayoho, because they have become so attached to women. Ajita Atmanaho. Being unable to control the senses. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Therefore, since these two persons, drunk with the liquor named Varuni or Madhvi, and unable to control their senses, have been blinded by the pride of celestial opulence and have become attached to women, I shall relieve them of their false prestige. Please repeat. Therefore, since these two persons, drunk with the liquor named Varuni, or Madhvi, and unable to control their senses, have been blinded by the pride of celestial opulence, and have become attached to women, I shall relieve them of their false prestige. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport for this verse, when a sadhu chastises, purport, go up, okay. When a sadhu chastises or punishes someone, he does not do so for revenge. Maharaj Parikshit had inquired why Narada Muni was subject to such a spirit of revenge, tamaha. But this was not tamaha for Narada Muni. But this was not tamaha for Narada Muni. In full knowledge of what was for the good of the two brothers, wisely thought of how to cure them. Vaishnavas are good physicians. They know how to protect a person from material disease. Thus, they are never in tamogun. Sagunan samati chaitan brahma bhuyaya kopate. Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, text 26. Vaishnavas are always situated on the transcendental platform, the Brahman platform. They cannot be subject to mistakes or the influence of the modes of material nature. Whatever they do, after full consideration, is meant just to lead everyone back home, back to Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschachadeshtarane Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnang, Shapitang Jaina Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeyahang Shri Guru, Shri Uttapada Kamalam, Shri Guru and Vaishnavam Sha. Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam. Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishal Kanvatang Sha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate. Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kopatarubhya Shakripa Sadubhya Vacha Patitanang Pavadebhyo Vaisnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So previously, Prabhupada had mentioned that one who becomes very wealthy, they don't regard saintly persons very well. They don't see the need, frankly, because they already have what they want, money. Whereas he stated that it's easier for the poor to receive the saintly person and therefore benefit. But I raised the question when that purport was mentioned that day, that is this actually the case? Because we see nowadays in modern society, quite often it's more difficult to approach poor people. They're very, even a pauper is part of his penny proper said, and they're generally crazy fellows. And, you know, the poverty is not a good thing, it seems, to make people want to take the spiritual life. Because they're too concentrated on money, they want to make money, they want some or other by hook or crook to get money to do what they want to do in life. So it doesn't seem to really ring true in our modern society. So I've been discussing this, and I had a conversation with Vaijayanti Mala Mataji. She's a very, very intelligent woman. And she has pointed out, yes, that's because nowadays the poor are not cultured. And that's actually the answer. See, in Prabhupada's time, what to speak of previously, even the poor people were cultured. And by culture, we don't mean what passes for culture nowadays. Nowadays, when people think culture, they think they can discriminate between so many different kinds of wine. And, you know, in this culture they cook their meat that way, and in that culture they cook the meat a different way, and they dress this way or they don't. That's not culture. That's not culture. Culture means spiritual culture. So in former times, even the poor people were exposed to real spiritual culture. And therefore, even though they were poor, they were not downtrodden by that poverty. And they were still aware enough of the goal of life so that if a saintly person came to their door, they would receive them nicely. At least in a very simple way, as Prabhupada suggested, if a saintly person comes to your door, there are three things you should do minimum. First thing, see, at least some water if you don't have nice foodstuffs, and sweet words. Exactly. Not that as soon as somebody knocks on your door, you're like, who are you? Why are you knocking on my door? What do you want? Not like that. In real culture, somebody knocks on your door, comes to your door, uninvited, Atithi Narayan, you invite them in, and my dear sir or madam, how, where are you coming? You know, some sweet words. And then, after you've done all those things, sweet words, a seat, some water at least, then you inquire, why did you come here? Then only. Not that immediately, what do you want? What do you come here for? Get out of my space. This is my space. Not like that. So, Prabhupada's statement is correct, because back in the day, in his day, 100 years or so ago, and what to speak of previously, even the poor people had that spiritual culture. Atithi Narayan, somebody comes to your door uninvited, you receive them nicely. Nowadays, even if you invite them, you kind of wonder, why did I invite this person anyway? You know, like that. No. So the poor people tended to be a little saner than they are nowadays because they had some spiritual culture. And this is essential. This is essential. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling, he went to Prayag, which is known in modern times as Allahabad. So Rupa Goswami, who is the younger brother of Sanatana Goswami, accompanied by his younger brother, Balabha, they also went there to see Lord Chaitanya. And they were astonished how Lord Chaitanya, he was, when they arrived, he was on his way to the Bindu Madhava temple. But on the way, he was chanting and dancing, and everybody else was chanting and dancing with him. And this is Lord Chaitanya, he's the Supreme Acharya, his way of teaching us that the way you interact with the public to make them fortunate is by giving them this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. By giving them the Maha Mantra and showing them how to dance. Whenever we do our college programs, you may have seen some videos I've posted, we teach them the Swami step, moving the foot from side to side, and we teach them the meaning of the Hare Krishna Mantra and make them chant. Because without that, without at least some contact with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, nobody's fortunate in this age, no matter whether they're rich or poor. Good fortune begins when you come in contact with the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then after coming from the temple, Lord Chaitanya took his lunch and finally he met with the two brothers. And because it was too crowded in Prayag, that particular area, he invited him to meet him at a place called Dashashwamedha Ghat. And for 10 days continuously, he instructed Rupa Goswami in the science of Krishna consciousness. Now it's very telling. Lord Chaitanya is God himself, Krishna. Rupa Goswami is a gopi, Rupa Manjari. Yet, he did not speak immediately about gopi this and that and that. No, for 10 days, the science of Krishna consciousness, the existential position of the living entity, the relationship with Krishna, the science of bhakti. No talk about gopi this and gopi that. You see? So, we should be very careful not to prematurely get into this gopi bhava mood. I only want to speak on 10th canto, and everybody I meet, immediately I'm telling them about gopi this and gopi that. That is not Lord Chaitanya's example. And it's not Srila Prabhupada's example. This is for liberated personalities, actually. This gopi gita and things like that is for liberated personalities, because they won't be having any misconception about their position and trying to imitate Krishna. Krishna has his gopis, so I can also have my gopis. No, not like that. So Lord Chaitanya, immediately, explain that within this Brahmanda, this universe that we're living, there are so many living entities, but you can divide them broadly into two categories. Stavara, those who are fixed, like trees, and Jangama, those who move, are able to move. And in the Jangama category, you have your birds and your beasts and fish that swim like that. These are all moving living entities. So there are millions and trillions of such jangama, living entities that are moving. And out of them are very, very few. They say nowadays 7 billion, but out of them very few are humans. And then among the human beings, those who have no knowledge of the science of Krishna, they are unclean in their habits, and they don't believe in the existence of the personality of God, they're considered uncivilized. So this is how you divide civilized and uncivilized. If somebody is not clean, see, they don't know anything about the science of God, Krishna, bhakti, and they don't believe in the existence of God, then they're uncivilized. No matter how they're dressed, they may be wearing the latest this and that and driving nice cars. If they don't, this is how you discriminate. Then amongst those who are civilized, they're progressive, trying to progress in spiritual life, they're called Aryans. And those are broadly divided into two classes. Those who are the Mayavadis and those who are the Bhaktas, the Krishna Bhaktas. So like this, systematically, Lord Chaitanya is teaching the science of Godhead. And this is what we're here to learn from Lord Chaitanya's representative, Srila Prabhupada, who amazingly, in just a short space of time, 12 years since he came to America, he came in 65 and he left this world in 77. So in 12 years, he gave so much, it will take lifetimes to appreciate. Lifetimes. Bhagavad Gita as it is, the complete Srimad Bhagavatam, at least up to 10:13, which we're approaching. And teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which is then further expanded as the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nectar of devotion. See, and this is what Lord Chaitanya, of course, Rupa Goswami is a liberated soul. He already had this knowledge, but superficially, Lord Chaitanya is giving him the seed of the science of bhakti so he could then later on write books like Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, for our edification. So, the demigods are supposed to be obviously more highly civilized even than any human being on this planet. So that's why it's so amazing that these two brothers, they have become intoxicated, toxic. This is another thing we point out when we preach in the high schools and colleges. Intoxication means that you're ingesting toxin, poison. Why do people do that? Why are we so dissatisfied with our normal state of consciousness that we want to run the risk of poisoning ourselves just so we can get higher? You see? An artificial way to become higher. We don't like our normal state of consciousness, so we want to take some substance that makes us higher. But as we point out to the students on a regular basis, when you take these poisonous things to get high, do you stay high? No, you don't. For some time, it seems that you're flying in the sky, you're so high, everything's cool, but then you come down. And then it becomes a roller coaster ride. You take this intoxicant to get high, and then you come down again. And usually, if you stay on that roller coaster, your downers become real down. And then it takes more of the substance to make you high again. So it's a very expensive ride. Monetarily, very expensive. Generally speaking, you have to go out and spend some hard cash to get your intoxicant of choice. And physically, emotionally, mentally, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So eventually, people give up. And unfortunately, many of them become suicidal. I just saw recently that Japan is the number one, or at least amongst the highest, if not number one, in the suicide rate. Every year, almost 13,000 people commit suicide, which breaks down to about 78 people per day in that country are committing suicide, killing themselves. Why? Again, because they're not trained in the science of God. They don't know what is the goal of life. And therefore, they become frustrated. They become fed up because they've tried so hard. There's this one cliff that is a very popular suicide spot. So there's one guy, a retired policeman, who's made it his job to try to prevent people from committing suicide in this one area. But he said, unfortunately, they are not always successful. And they're so frustrated, some of them, they come with their children, kill themselves along with the children. He said he's seen. One man came, he had an older child holding onto his back and a younger child in his arm, and he jumps with both children. That's how frustrated people become with material life. Trying to enjoy, and they can't enjoy, and therefore they become frustrated and kill themselves. So the science of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, is so essential. This is why Prabhupada said, yes, you can run for president or whatever, but even if you get the post, what are you going to achieve? Because if the mass of people don't understand the goal of life and don't want to achieve it, you're just going to be a hindrance to their enjoyment. They're going to see you as somebody who's hindering their enjoyment. No intoxication? Come on, get serious. You see? Because they depend on that intoxicant. And I'm not talking about just bums on the street. Here in American society, it's a well-known fact that, you know, many educated people with money, they're also addicted. Maybe they're not hanging out on the street trying to buy crack, but they're addicted to prescription meds. Some or other, by hook or crook, they get these prescription medications just so they can make it through the day. You know? So people need this knowledge. They need this knowledge. It's essential. And that's why Prabhupada said, the best way for you to deliver your country is to go out and distribute my books. Because if people read just one line, one word, just like this famous case, maybe Sura remembers, we used to do these drive-in theaters. We would sneak in, two devotees in the car would pay, and then three of us, four of us would be in the trunk. And then we would get out and we'd blitz up and down the rows and, you know, knocking on cars, trying to get people to buy. In those days, mostly Back to God and magazine. So there's one case, true story, where this guy was in the car at the drive-in theater and he had piped in the exhaust into his car, locked all the windows, and he was waiting to kill himself that way. Asphyxiation. So one devotee, he noticed what was going on and he knocked on the door and the guy was responding. So he opened a BTG, Krishna inspired him, put it on the windshield. So the guy starts reading through the windshield. And he becomes fascinated just by reading two pages. That's all he could see. Of the Back to Godhead magazine. Just two pages of Prabhupada's Back to Godhead magazine attracted him. And he rolled down the window and read the rest of it and turned off the engine. You see? So this is why it's essential to go out and distribute this knowledge. You are saving people from committing suicide, literally or figuratively. Because without this knowledge, figuratively, they're committing suicide, spiritual suicide. By not taking to this essential knowledge of who we are, who is Krishna, who is God, what is our relationship, what is the goal, ultimate goal. Without that, people are committing suicide. And that's why in this 10th canto, Parikshit Maharaj has made that statement, Narita Tarsha Upagiyamana. This Krishna Katha is so sweet, so relishable, so enlivening, so uplifting. Only two classes of persons will not be attracted. Pashugna means two things. Those who are pashugna, they're actually literally killing animals and eating them. They become so covered over, they cannot appreciate. They cannot appreciate genuine spiritual knowledge when it's handed to them. They see the real religion, Bhakti Yoga, as irreligion. You guys are just a cult. Get out of my face. Or even if they come in contact, they don't believe it. Like I've said, told many times, I was in Penn Station distributing books one Sunday, and a well-dressed gentleman, very tall, about maybe late 30s, 40, very well-dressed, suit and tie, was coming through. And I stopped him, handed him a Gita. No, I don't want this book. Oh, do you know something about Bhagavad Gita? He said, I've actually read that book. I said, really? And what did you think? I don't believe in that because it makes me responsible for what I do. Don't believe in karma, you see? And it turned out he was a Christian minister on the way to his church to go and deliver a sermon. So what are you going to teach the people? That they're not responsible for what they do? You see? No clue. No clue, yet he's a minister. So Prabhupada said, these are not leaders, these are misleaders. And that's the whole problem of society today. So many misleaders. Yesterday's Prabhupada's lecture, who remembers the verse? No. Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu. Everybody should know this verse. We say it almost every day. So that was the verse Prabhupada was lecturing on. About how by regularly attending classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam and rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. So Prabhupada made that strong argument. And he said that what's killing this spiritual culture is these misleaders who They claim they read Bhagavad Gita. They claim to be represented, but they minus Krishna from Bhagavad Gita. So many politicians and spiritualists who claim to know Bhagavad Gita. So this has ruined the whole atmosphere. So Prabhupada came to rectify that. First starting in the West and then taking it back into India. See? So now we have no excuse. Every one of us here, we have this knowledge. And Prabhupada made a statement several times that those who know and don't do the right thing, they're actually more punishable. You see? If a person comes from UK and they're used to driving on the left and they come to America and they accidentally drive on the left, they're punishable because you should know the law, but they may be excused. Okay, it's, you know, bad habit, you're used to driving on the left. But if you're born in America, your whole life you're driving on the right, but due to intoxication or just craziness, you start driving on the left, more punishable. You know, you have no excuse. You can't say, well, where I come from, we drive on the left. No. So similarly, we've all been exposed to this science of bhakti. Even the newest person here, Bhakta Usman, he's already read enough of Prabhupada's books to know what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. Isn't it? Yes. He's shaking his head, yes. It doesn't take very long. Within a few days, you know what is the goal of life, Krishna Prema, and how to achieve it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And avoid intoxication. Don't become intoxicated. Because these brothers, Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, they knew also the goal of life. They're demigods. They know. The demigods automatically have this knowledge at their fingertips. But due to intoxication, they misbehaved. So important. These do-nots are an essential part of spiritual practice. It's not just the do's. It's also the do-nots. Yama, niyama. This is the beginning of yoga. Prescriptions, proscriptions. What you should do, what you should not do. So one of the things that we should never do is use any form of intoxication. Because it's poisonous, as we discussed earlier, and it deviates one from the determination to achieve this goal of life, Krishna Prema. One becomes deviated. Confirmed. So these do-nots are very important. No intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating. If we break any of those principles, we're stunting our spiritual growth. We're slowing down our spiritual progress. So it's very, very important, and that's why Prabhupada stressed that when the devotees, on a morning walk here in LA, complained to Prabhupada that, you know, Prabhupada, as soon as we tell them the principles, they become upset. Prabhupada said, why are you surprised? You're preaching to cats and dogs. Just as we said earlier, anybody who doesn't know the science of God, who's not clean in their habits, and doesn't believe in the existence of God, they're uncivilized. They're practically living like animals, Prabhupada states in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So you can't be surprised when animals are not attracted to following principles. So Prabhupada said, you make them fortunate by giving them two things, the Harinam, chanting of the holy name, and Krishna Prasadam. When they start eating Krishna Prasadam, and that's why we have to hold big festivals. Prabhupada wanted this. Here in LA, we do our huge festival, Rath Yatra, every year. People know all around the world. I'm not kidding, I got a call at the BBT one day, several years back, from some person who was actually a travel agent. Because the people who were coming in from Europe, some particular party was coming, they wanted to know when is that Hare Krishna festival. Because they wanted to time their visit to LA so they could catch that festival. So this is famous all around the world. And Prabhupada wanted that, not just Rath Yatra, but every, as far as possible, hold huge festivals. Because that's when you make the public at large fortunate. Just like Lord Chaitanya was going through Prayag chanting, and everybody was chanting with him, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, and making spiritual advancement. So similarly, when we go out and chant, people make spiritual advancement. And when they come in contact with Krishna Prasadam, they make spiritual advancement. And then, gradually, they can start to assimilate the philosophy and awaken a desire to follow principles. You see? So it's a science. It's not just something willy-nilly that Prabhupada brought here. He brought this same science that Lord Chaitanya taught to Rupa Goswami. Srila Prabhupada brought that. He's coming in the line of Rupa Goswami. The foremost Rupa Anuga, Srila Prabhupada, follower. Otherwise, they have no chance. Kali Yuga is that age where things deteriorate quite rapidly. And therefore you'll find in the 12th canto, Sukadeva Goswami is wrapping up his presentation to Shukadeva. He's already gone through the 10th canto, all of 90 chapters of the 10th canto and all the nectar that's there. But then he goes into the 11th canto, general history. And in the 12th canto, now he's wrapping up the whole presentation. So he starts out by saying, Tatascha nudinam dharma satyam socham shamadaya kalina balina rajan nang satyahu balang smritihi. This is how he starts out the 12th canto. That tataha, thereafter, anudinam, day by day, these things are going on. First thing is, tatascha nudinam dharma, real religion. This is the real religion, dharma. The real dharma is Krishna consciousness. But that gradually disappears in the age of Kali. Satyam. Satya means truthfulness. Shocham means cleanliness. Kshama. No, tolerance. Daya. Mercy. And then why is this happening? Kalena Palina Raja. Because of the strength of the age of Kali. We do not have the strength to resist Kali without the mercy of the devotee, without Krishna consciousness. You cannot resist. It's not possible. It's too strong. All of these bad things that are going on will just sweep you away. As Prabhupada said in his lecture last night, that if circumstantially a person falls down, it's excused. You know, you've been habituated to smoking, and some or other you run into some old friends and somebody hands you, and just out of habit you take a toke, you'll be excused for that. But if you deliberately break the principles, then you're not excused for that. So, kalina balina rajan, nang chati means destroyed. Nangchatyahu means duration of life. Nangchatyahu balam, physical strength. Smritihi, memory. So these things are all destroyed by the strength of the age of Kali. And none of us that are coming out of this morass of Kali Yuga have the strength to resist this destruction on our own. We can only do it if we hold on tightly to Lord Chaitanya's main representative, Morasena Senapati Bhakta, the general who came specifically to lead us back to home, back to Godhead. So if we hold on to Srila Prabhupada, then we have the strength collectively to follow the principles, to stay on the bhakti path, and to make others fortunate by giving it to them. So we can stop here. Any questions? Any comments? I think Neela Madhava's arm shot up first. Now that Brigapati's traveling, he has a chance to be first. Otherwise, it's always Brigham.
The demigods are more, you know, they're more civilized. They have a, you know, kind of more materially advanced and much better access to sense gratification. Recently, Oscar and I were reading the teachings of Jyad Bharat in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, and he was saying that the human life is even more ideal for self-realization because than the demigods, because they have so much access to sense gratification that it's much easier to become bewildered in their position. So I was just thinking about that when you mentioned it. And also, there was a documentary I watched a couple of years ago, back when I used to watch TV, called About Happy, and they were talking about in Japan how the full focus is on material prosperity and advancement. And this guy, on his birthday, he was working too much. And this woman, she was saying, her husband, even when he was home with the kid, his whole mind was engulfed in what's going on at work. So it seems, just in my own experience, when I was trying to become a teacher in the public school, is, you know, they were signing me up for 16 hour a day and training me to work like an ass, you know. So I was just thinking, you know, now that I have a much more underling position and just work as much as required, I've never been happier in my whole life, you know, even though, you know, it's a lesser position. So.
Yeah, see, and the tendency of the human being, even in Kali Yuga, when one of the bad things that happens is that people become more and more lazy. But even in this age, people are still inclined to do some work because they want sense gratification. So if you're a little bit pious, you don't want to go out and steal or whatever. So you're inclined to work so you can get some money. And it becomes your focus of life, as you said. And it stays with you because this is the biggest part of your life. The biggest chunk of your life is working. I'm noticing that now. My mother's 85 and she's gradually lost her mental faculties. But she, because she was so absorbed in working, first she was a teacher and then she went into the insurance field and did very well there. First of all, selling and then became more on the office side of it. So she rambles all day, and it's all about her working experience. Oh, I just came from this meeting, and the group leader said this and that. All day long, she's just absorbed in memories of her working days. And that's why Prabhupada was so brilliant. He wants us to be absorbed in working for Krishna. If you absorb your mind in what do I have to do next for the deities, what do I have to do next for book distribution, how do I have to improve Govindas, etc. If you absorb your mind in that, then at the end, even if you supposedly lose your mind, you're going to be focused on that. The work that we're doing every day, day after day, year after year, decade after decade. So that's Prabhupada's genius. And Prabhupada called that working samadhi. You see? Don't try to be in, you know, gopi samadhi. No, just focusing on the gopis. No, working samadhi. Focus your mind on your work. Whether it's making garlands, or again, distributing books, or running the restaurant. If you focus your energy on that, then at the end of life, the tendency is you're going to remember that, because that was the biggest part of your day. And that's supposed to be the biggest part of your day. Not that we do 2-3 hours of service and then that's it. I've done my service and that's it. Now I can do whatever I want. No. Even if that's all they've given you to do officially, find some service. Prabhupada said in that lecture yesterday, if you have nothing to do, come in the temple and clean. He said that, remember? Come in the temple and clean. And he said, don't think it's not important. Krishna doesn't see any difference, he said, between the pujari who's serving him directly and the person who's cleaning the temple. Krishna doesn't see any difference. It's devotional service. This was telling. After that lecture yesterday, Satchitanoi Prabhu came to me and said, that's all you need is just this one lecture. Just this one lecture. Now, multiply that by 1,200. We have recorded more than 1,200 lectures of Srila Prabhupada. And I just wanted everybody to note that the archives, they're cleaning up all the lectures and taking out and also giving us the full lecture, because a lot of the lectures that you hear, they were abridged. They were cut so they would fit into 30-minute cassettes or 45-minute cassette per side. So a lot of things were left out. If you notice the transcript, sometimes the text is there on the screen but you don't hear it because they cut it out. But now the archives have released the unabridged, cleaned up audio and they send it to me, so I have them. They're going year by year. And then when they clean up, they send me a whole year. So like I just got 74. So if you would like to get those, you bring me your device, your computer, whatever, I can put them. I don't want to give you the USB stick because I may not get it back. So you bring me your device and I'll be happy to transfer those lectures, the clean-up lectures that I have so far. So you can hear the unabridged, clean lectures. It's so important for us to hear Prabhupada. Every Sunday we all leave going, wow, what a lecture. But you could be doing that every day. Listen to at least one lecture of Prabhupada and you'll be blown away. I know that's how I learned this philosophy. I learned more by hearing Prabhupada speaking directly than by reading. Reading, yeah, I may remember this and that, but when I hear Prabhupada say something, it goes in and it sticks. So I recommend every day listen to a lecture. And like I said, now we have the cleaned up, expanded lecture, so take advantage. All right, we'll stop here. Grantar Archimed Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Archita Gaur Bhaktivinoda
Ki Jai. Thank you, Vaitayanti.
Hare Krishna, quick question.
Sure. I wanted to ask you, what are you reading?
This is just
selected verses from the Vedic scriptures.
Yeah. This morning I found a bookmark on this verse, and then you spoke about it, so I thought maybe it's something that I should get some clarity. Speaking about this famous verse about getting rid of sex desire by hearing about the book, but I'm noticing that in relation to this verse that it says anyone who faithfully hears